Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in the book of Acts. Actually, I think today, Lord willing, we'll be able to complete chapter number 2. All of chapter 2, Josh, has been this exciting day, one day, this exciting day of Pentecost.
Yeah, but what a historic day, you know, as we'll see here in the end of chapter 2, all these people that get saved and get added to the church on this day.
The book of Acts scopes out, panoramics, I don't know that that's a word, mushrooms out both in geography and in timeline. So by the end of the book of Acts, we will have covered 30 years. Mm. But here in chapter 2, we're covering one day.
Yeah.
The point is some important principles and foundational events are taking place to which we give much attention, because from these events, platformed from these events, will be the entire spread of the gospel. Remember, Jesus had said that you're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
Yep.
So Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, mm-hmm. 6, 7, all those chapters are the gospel in Jerusalem. Yeah. But then, you know, 8, we're going to go to Samaria. And by 10, we're going to the Gentiles. Yeah. And by, you know, Acts, the end of the book of Acts, we're in Rome.
The uttermost, yeah.
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 So we see that panoramic mushroom in the book of Acts. Here in Acts chapter 2, Peter has preached the message. He's called for a decision, which Bible truth should always call for a decision. It's not just there for our head. It's there for our heart.
Sure.
It's not just for our mind. It's for our will. And the Bible says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." What a day. It's amazing.
It is amazing. I would love to have been there on that day, you know, just to see the beginnings of the church and this addition of 3,000 people to the discipleship there, the other 120 that had been following Christ. Just an incredible day.
Some critics have said, well, you know, how do you baptize 3,000 people?
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you've ever been to Jerusalem, and if you've not been, I'll take you one day. All around the temple, they've excavated what's called these mikvah, which are ritual baths. And when people would go into the temple, they'd have to walk down, dip themselves in water, come back out the other side. It was a ceremonial washing, mm-hmm. That they would conduct. And there were all kinds of tanks,
yeah,
for them to baptize. So that's where the 120 come in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so there are people that are baptizing, and there are 3,000 people. I mean, that's kind of like 30 people per person,
yeah,
you know?
Right,
and
right.
But all of a sudden, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, when you look at it that way.
I've baptized 30 people at one time.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so it can be done in a relatively short period of time, mm-hmm. upon their profession of faith.
Yep.
So I see the attitude. You know, they gladly received his word. Mm. You know, then I see the action.
Yeah.
You know, they were baptized.
Yeah, yeah.
And both of them are important, the heart and the hand. You know, the inside and the outside.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's forcing this decision upon them. They had a good attitude when they accepted Christ. They went forward or went through with getting baptized as well. So the attitude and the action are both important.
So you see really the order that God expects for each one of us: salvation, mm-hmm. baptism, identification with the local body. That's what you find here.
Yeah.
They that gladly received his word, their salvation, were baptized, and then added to the church. Mm-hmm. And that's what God expects today. He expects for us to receive him as Savior, identify with him publicly, you know, and then be added to that church,
yeah,
at which we are baptized. So verse 41, verse rather 42, "And they," who? the baptized ones, they continued. So there's a mark of authenticity and true Christianity. It's not that they go back home and then when the pastor comes by and knocks on the door, they kind of draw their shades.
Yeah.
You know, you wonder about the authenticity of that salvation decision.
Right.
No, they continued steadfastly. That's how they continued. Mm-hmm. In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So break those four down, Josh. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers.
Sure. So they're all important ingredients for any Christian's life, but especially a new Christian. So doctrine, the teaching of the Word of God. This is them learning and soaking in. We might call it in our modern vernacular, discipleship. So the doctrine. And then fellowship. They found other believers to be around, to grow with, and to enjoy their company. That's an important thing for us today, too.
And fellowship in the Bible, just not to cut you off.
No, yeah.
But fellowship in the Bible always centered around the person of Christ.
Yeah.
We look at fellowship, at least in our Baptist circles, as, you know, hot dogs and softball and maybe, you know, throwing the horseshoe. And I'm not against that, but fellowship was around the person of Jesus, coming together, provoking one another unto love and good works.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of codified teaching, mm-hmm. doctrine, fellowship.
Yeah, and then the breaking of bread. Maybe this was their cookout, but no, the breaking of, obviously, sharing a meal together in Scripture was significant. It was important. They're welcoming each other into their homes and into this time of fellowship where they're going to not just eat together. That was a part of it, but they're also going to, the last thing here, pray. They're praying with and for one another. And I think this is a good template for our modern day fellowship and worship and church attendance and all of these things. It shows us the importance, but it's also a good template of what we ought to do. What is Christian fellowship?
So you had the singles to your home last night.
Yeah.
And really, if you wanted to take these four components mm-hmm. and break them down, that's what you did.
Yes, absolutely. All four of them. Yeah. We had the time of doctrine where we listened to God's word being taught to us, a great message. Then we talked about it. We sang. We worshiped together. We played some games. We ate some food.
We broke
bread with one another.
Sour ranch Doritos counts.
Well, we broke brownies.
That's bread.
Count,
that's so. Bread.
But yeah, I think it's a great template for our modern day fellowship. What is fellowship? It's not. It's more than just, as you said, eating hamburgers and hot dogs or having a potluck dinner. It's caring about each other. It's learning and growing with one another. It's praying for each other. That's what true koinonia Christian fellowship is.
And breaking of bread could also mean the celebration of the Lord's Supper mm-hmm. together. And certainly that's included. But remember, my friends, when the early church would celebrate even the Lord's Supper, it was much more than just what's called the Eucharisteo, or the actual grape juice and unleavened bread, but it involved the agape meal and that time together, which is why the Apostle Paul took such a strong stand against the way the Corinthians were doing it, because they were segmenting based upon socioeconomic status. The whole point is that but when you follow Christ, you want to be around the people of God.
Yes.
You want to be growing in the Word of God. You want to be encouraged by the other believers praying. And we find all of that in this early church. And the Bible says, and fear came upon every soul, a sense of respect and awe. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Boy, they were there. You know, in the sense of, man, God's at work here.
Mm-hmm.
God's doing something. We're part of this.
Yep.
This is amazing. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Now, this is not a biblical mandate, but just understand that many of the people that had been saved now had interrupted their lives. They were from different places, different countries. But for a season, they stayed to be discipled in Jerusalem. And that called for people to open their homes. That called for people to pick up the slack, people that didn't have steady work, didn't have jobs. And they just had a giving others mindset. Yeah. That would be a good application.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is not this as some of our friends might try to interpret this passage. This is not, you know, God saying, hey, you ought to live in a communistic society. I think what you said a minute ago is important for us to point out. This was voluntary. It's not people having to give up their belongings to someone else. This was people doing this out of the goodness and the kindness of their heart. And it was temporary. It's not the government coming in and taking their stuff.
Right. They sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. So would it at least be safe to say, my friends, that they weren't guided and governed by materialism.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel didn't only open their heart, it opened their pocketbook.
Yeah, yeah.
And my friends, I'll just say this because I know that, and church members, this is not me trying to do some kind of an end run on you. but man, be a giver. Understand that God has given you your resources for one reason, and that's for you to be a steward to God and of the people that God's put in your life. Let's not be materialistic. Let's use what God has given us to bless others. Verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Much to be said about these verses, Josh, but two things that strike out to me, and then I'll give you the last word. Number one, daily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have relegated church to be once a week, twice a week, or, you know, if we're really spiritual, three times a week, you know, thing.
Yeah.
And you know, the Christianity is to be a daily life.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why I do this daily podcast.
Yeah.
It's because I want people to be engaged together around the Bible daily.
Yeah.
And that ought to be the case. And then the second thing that sticks out to me is they had favor with all the people.
Mm.
Christianity today is under a lot of scrutiny, and for a good reason. Sometimes the people that act least like Christians are Christians.
Yeah.
And people see hatefulness, they see sectarianism, and what the onlooking crowd saw in the first century is they saw people that loved each other, that gave their resources to each other, that truly shared with each other, broke bread, happiness, joy, all of it. And I wonder if we would be spirit-filled and we would be others-minded. I wonder what kind of testimony we could have as local churches among an onlooking world.
Yeah, those are great points. And I'll just close it out by saying, what did those things produce? You look at the end of the passage, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so the daily worship, the fellowship, you know, all of this, them continuing in the doctrine and them, you know, loving each other and not being materialistic and not having this sense of, you know, having to attack everybody that maybe disagrees with them a little bit. What did that produce? It produced new converts.
Hmm.
And it produced God's church growing. And that ought to be the desire of each and every one of us.
Yeah, that's a really good thought, that when their obedience was daily, their outreach was daily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really good. And I hope that helps you, my friends. We've completed chapter 2 and looking forward to see how the gospel begins to mushroom out. And I hope that the gospel will mushroom out of your life too, that you will look for expanded opportunities to bless those in your local church and to reach those within arm's length of your life. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.